impressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Hour number two on your Thursday. Once again, interview heavy here. Look for the on your iTunes, on your SoundCloud, and all your favorite iPod places. The interviews with Dr. Joe Eastman, our COVID modeler, Cliff Schechter, national pundit. They'll be from last hour. They will be up here before too long. And a reminder, too, if you are watching the show, like to watch it on the live stream, the Matt McNeil Show, Progressive Citizen Next page, that's down today. But it is streaming on AM 950 Radio on Facebook. So bonjour. Go enjoy if you'd like. Democrat of the day. We head down to Senate District 54, Prior Lake area. Alicia Donahue is kind enough to join us. She's the DFLer running for that seat, and she wants to talk a little bit about her campaign. Alicia, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Thanks so much for having me, Matt.
My absolute pleasure here. The district here, I'm fascinated about this seat because I'm just from the get-go. This is, on the Republican side, it's kind of a nightmare for the GOP right now. A far-right group has targeted the current Republican seat holder, a guy named Pratt, and they're trying to put a very extremist far-right candidate in there, which is not going to fly in Senate District 54. So as I watch this, and especially in the Republican Party today, I think there's a decent chance there could be an extreme far-right candidate in this district, which means since 54 isn't an extremist far-right district, this is a viable pickup here for the DFL.
You know, I think what it really speaks to is that folks are wanting people at the Capitol who are ready to get things done. And I'm a strong believer that all of the problems we face here in Minnesota can be solved if we work together. And so if we are running far right, far left folks who are not interested in finding any sort of common ground, we're not going to get anywhere. And that's not what Minnesota wants. That's not what's going to make Minnesota better. And that's why I'm running. We need to get things done. We need to help our communities who are struggling, and we need to help the middle class.
Mm-hmm. And you said it perfectly well there. It's just, this is this element that's trying to take over the seat. They are so furious of any kind of compromise or working with the other side that they would rather shut the state government down as opposed to even make any concessions. That's not going to fly. I mean, I should mention, I said Prior Lake here. I get it also. I love Shakopee. Oh, yeah, crepes. Yeah, I like Shakopee. I go down there a lot. I love that part of town. Prior Lake, Jordan's in this district. This is the new redrawn district, we should say, in 54 here. And it's been trending more and more towards the left. In the last 10 years I've been doing this radio show, I have seen that district move more and more. It used to be a pretty solid red district, but now it's becoming much more of a toss-up district.
You're absolutely right. This is a seat that can be flipped to the Democrats, to folks who want to get things done in the legislature. Candidates don't win campaigns. People behind the candidates win campaigns, and this seat is exactly that. We're ready to get to work. We're ready to build off the momentum that previous candidates have created, and we're ready to get to the Capitol with some true representation for folks in our community.
So let's introduce everyone. Let's give you a little chance here to give a little bit of a biography of who exactly you are. Who exactly is Alicia Donahue?
Yeah. So I'm a wife. I'm a stepmom. I'm a licensed independent clinical social worker. I'm a community organizer. I'm a social justice advocate. And I've spent 18 years of my life learning about people, getting to know people, and helping people. And that's what I'm planning to do in the Minnesota Senate. I was one of the co-founders of the Women's March here in Minnesota, and I watched firsthand the power that people have when we get together, the power that women have when we organize. And I'm excited to do that here in 54 and to really help our community and to make this a stronger Minnesota.
And as a matter of fact, sharp-eared listeners might remember, we actually had you on talking about the march a few years back that was going on because you've been there. And I'm glad to see you're running for office. I especially like the fact that your experience, we need more people with that perspective. We've got a lot of people that are only in St. Paul looking to represent the wealthiest people in their district and their tax dollars, making sure they get tax breaks. They don't get a lot of people in there that are in the real day-to-day experience of seeing the need that's in this state, see government services as they're presented. Because not only do you see the value in these services, but you also see the areas where they can improve those services.
You're so right. The last 18 years of my life has been spent working with folks who are experiencing some of the darkest days. I have been a mental health professional, also known as a therapist, in the Hennepin County Jail System. I am currently a supervisor in child protection investigations. I work with folks who are experiencing severe and persistent mental illness, chemical dependency. I've worked for the state of Minnesota as an advocate for individuals whose rights were being violated in relation to the services they're receiving. And I think that, I mean, you said it best. We've got folks at the Capitol who mean well, because I like to assume positive intent. They mean well with some of the legislation that's coming out, but the reality is our safety nets are failing folks, and we are throwing tax dollars at safety net programs that folks at the Capitol don't know how they're working firsthand. And we know that policy drives practice, and we're spending a lot of money on programs who aren't serving our communities the way that they could. And I'm excited to get to work to dig into those programs, to put money into programs that are actually helping our communities, and to save taxpayers' dollars on programs that just aren't working, but were hopefully intended to do so, but we just realize aren't hitting the mark.
You know, you bring that up. I remember Tori Westrum, the Republican from out in western Minnesota, and when he was fighting against food stamps, and he didn't understand how the food stamp program worked. You know, he didn't understand it. He was just babbling, and he had no idea how the actual program worked, which made him look foolish, of course, and everything he was saying, and eventually got struck down. But the reality is Republicans have no problem running with stereotypes. When you talk about, hey, you know what? This program can be improved. This program's not working. This program's working fantastic. Your 18 years gives you that viewpoint where you bring the authority in with your arguments.
Absolutely. It absolutely does. And my experience over these last 18 years speaks for itself. And the knowledge that I have about these programs is clear. And I'm excited to get to work, to really help support the communities that are struggling to fix the holes in our safety nets that we're supposed to support folks. And like I said, to save taxpayer money.
Alicia Donnie is joining us, a State Senate District 54 Democrat of the day. Alicia, let's get into a few issues. You actually touched on one with your unique perspective. I'd love to get your thoughts on this. We are on the precipice of a mental health crisis in this city, in this state, in this country that we have never seen before. The pandemic did not help things, and we are really in a problem. We don't have enough staff. We don't have enough counselors. We don't have enough resources. What are some things that you would like to do when you talk about mental health from your perspective that you could say, you know what, this is where we need to focus our attention?
Oh, gosh. How much time do you have, Matt?
I'll give you as much time as you want on that one.
I mean, we could be here all day talking about that. We could start with fully funding our public schools. We have classroom sizes that are not conducive to supporting teachers who are trying to do this work. We don't have nearly enough counselors in our schools, and we don't have enough social workers in our schools. So we, starting at the very youngest Minnesotans, we are failing our communities. We are not addressing the mental health crisis. There are so many barriers when it comes to even supporting folks who want to get into this industry, right? I could sit here and talk about the mountain of student loan debt that I have, that I acquired through my education to become a licensed clinical social worker. You have to have a master's degree, which means you have to go 4 years plus one or two, depending on your undergrad. And so we are failing communities who want to get involved and want to do this work, want to become therapists and counselors, marriage and family therapists, who don't have access to be able to go to college in the first place. And then we have a licensure process that is full of obstacles and hoops that folks have to jump through. It makes it really impossible for folks who want to do this work. And so we have to do better. We have to fully fund these programs. We have to find a way to ensure that we are paying people what they're worth. It is just is unacceptable to me that we have folks who are working in group homes who are getting paid less than a livable wage, mm-hmm. and they are supporting humans, right? We've got folks who are getting paid less than what you get paid at Aldi's, who are handling people's lives in their hands. And you said it, you absolutely said it. We are on the precipice here. There's a wait list for every therapist that I know.
Yes.
We have to do something, or we have to start by supporting our youngest Minnesotans, and we have to find a way to encourage those who want to get into this field and not have all of these barriers that prevent them from doing so.
You just brought up something that we have not talked about, but it's such an important element of this problem. Family counselor, individual counselor, children's counselor, there isn't a counselor in this state that doesn't have a waiting list right now. And let's think about that. If you need to go to a counselor, the last thing you need to be told is, we'll put you on standby. You know, it's kind of, you just nailed it. We have this big issue, and I still don't see Republicans, including the current Republican that's holding that seat, trying to do anything to deal with it. And I think this is why we need to get you into St. Paul. I think there's a lot of great reasons to get you into St. Paul. Let's talk about another issue here. Obviously, the thing that everyone's talking about lately, and that is the ruling, the Alito ruling that's been leaked from the Supreme Court in regards to the overturning of Roe v. Wade. Minnesota, of course, through Doe versus Gomez, was a court case that actually enshrined stricter rights for women, more rights for women in the state constitution, which is great because Minnesota is going to, basically be able to weather this. A lot of states won't. Republicans are vowing that, we just had Dr. Scott Jensen that was, he did an interview where he basically said, even in the case of rape and incest, women will not have the choice of being able to get an abortion if he becomes the governor of the state of Minnesota. Talk about women's reproductive rights and the impact of the Alito ruling on your mentality as you think about heading to St. Paul.
Oh, boy. I mean, make no mistake about it. What this is about women's rights. This is about the right of women and those with uteruses telling us that we are not equal, that we don't have the right to make decisions about our reproductive health care. That's really what we're talking about here. And when we are in a country that has the highest maternal mortality rate, we have no paid maternity leave. Universally, we have no universal health care. We have no subsidized child care. We have inaccessible mental health care. What are we doing? It's absolutely unacceptable. We are setting up future generations to fail. We are failing our current generations, and we're setting up. I am infuriated by it, and I'm also fueled by it. Because, like I said earlier, I know the power of women. I know our power to organize and our power to fight. I saw what 34 women in a library in Eagan did in November of 2016, and how we spent less than 8 short weeks to bring 100,000+ people to our Capitol. I know that when we put our minds to something, we can better our lives, our communities, our children's lives. But we have to fight. We have to say we're not willing to accept this, because at the end of the day, it's not going to be women or those with uteruses who are in positions of power or privilege. Let's just be real clear. This is about protecting and supporting communities that have lower socioeconomic statuses, communities that can't afford to drive 3 states away to be able to access reproductive health care. And that's simply unacceptable.
Yeah, and we haven't even mentioned the underlying elements of this whole thing, which is, the Republicans want to go into your private bedroom and regulate what goes on in there. They wanted to return women to the time where the husbands had to be, you have to sign off on women being able to do things. There are so many cases under that Alito ruling. It's not just the women's right of choice. It is every right, almost every right women have gotten in the Supreme Court was through the 14th Amendment on liberty there. And Alito's trying to undo that, as well as the conservative justices. There are going to be, if Minnesota, I hope, stays safe, because we've got to get the DFLers in there in majority. But the reality, there are going to be some nightmare zones across this country after these conservatives get done with that Supreme Court.
You're absolutely right. And we have to do something. We have to protect our rights here in Minnesota, and we have to show up in November to elect folks who are willing to say enough is enough. We need equality. We need health care. We need reproductive health care. We need to support families. We need to support women. We need to support our youngest Minnesotans who are failing. We have to do better, and I know we can do better, but we have to work together to solve these problems. And by electing folks who are not willing to even hear where the other side is coming from is a problem. And that's why I think social workers are in such a unique position to run for office, because it's literally what I do all day, every day, is listen to people, hear where they're coming from, and find out how to find a solution to the problems that they're facing.
One last thing, if I can, because you brought this up. You talk about one side's trying to help, one side's not. Let's go to education funding. I thought Education Minnesota put out a very stark graphics through it when they compared what every school district in the state would have gotten under the DFL plan, which was a varying amount of money depending on the size of the school district, and how much they got with the Republican plan, which was zero for the entire state. Every school district in the state got $0 from Republicans. That, you know, you just mentioned it. We aren't underfunding our schools, and the Republicans are basically putting their fingers in the air, screaming, screaming, I can't hear you, I can't hear you.
Nobody wins if we fail our children. Our children, as cliche as it is, our children are our future. And if we are not fully funding our schools, then we are not fully investing in our future leaders. I've talked about this openly quite often, that my high school guidance counselor is somebody who saw, despite the many barriers and obstacles that I was facing in my life, she encouraged me to pursue a college education. She saw something in me that I couldn't see in myself, and then I went on to become the first master's level graduate in my family. So I know firsthand the importance our teachers and our school counselors have on the lives and the futures of our children. So honestly, anything less than fully funded schools is just unacceptable.
Absolutely. I really like you. I want you in St. Paul. You are exactly the kind of senator that, I mean, you win your seat. You could be the deciding seat that the DFL could win back the Senate and get some real change done, as opposed to what's going on with the Republicans in the Senate today. I really, really, I'm going to put about a big support here for Alicia Donahue. Once again, this is Senate District 54, Shakopee, Prior Lake, Jordan, that part of the metro area. Donations, volunteers. Alicia, it comes down to this. If you have the volunteers to knock on every door in that district, you'll win, correct?
Absolutely, we will.
Yeah. It comes down to that. I mean, how much? That's a seat the DFL can pick up. So donations, if people want to donate or volunteer, find out more about your campaign, Alicia, how do they do that?
Follow me on all social media platforms, Alicia, F-O-R, 54. My website right now goes straight to my Act Blue, so alicia454.com will bring you there. My website will be up and running here shortly. Send me an email if you're interested in getting connected, or send me a message on any social media platform. My email is going to be Alicia, A-L-I-C-I-A, at Alicia, F-O-R, 54.com.
And when I post this interview, I will link to your Twitter page, your Facebook page. Just go to that and make a message and say, hey, how do I volunteer? How do I help you out? That's the way to do it. I mean, it's a lot of things have to happen, but we have to vote and we have to help these DFLers win these seats. That is the most important thing, because that's how change and fixing a lot of the problems that we have right now, that's how that happens. Alicia Donahue, Senate District 54, all my best. Thank you very much for the time. I really appreciate it, and thanks for being Democrat of the Day.
Thanks so much, Matt. It's been a pleasure.
An absolute pleasure. Alicia Donahue, 54, Senate District 54. We'll take a break. Come on back. Your thoughts on that interview, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. Are you remote?